You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 2nd of December. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you loud and recorded from my apartment in Johannesburg. On the show today, we're going to chat with Carmen Mapuwani from Absa, talking that really strong Bidcorp update and the really weak office update from Emara. Michelle Dickens on their latest vacancy survey. There's still stress in that residential rental market. And Tanya van Loo, she is from the South African Venture Capital and Private Equity Association, how VC can grow the economy and, more importantly, perhaps also employment. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Noteworthy uptick in confidence among contractors in building sector. Single biggest quarterly improvement since the 80s, with a marked improvement in profitability. And we still need to see some really big projects. That's what we were chatting earlier in the week. Those sort of kind of giant ones. We saw them in the lead up to the World Cup in 2010. Nothing since then. Business Day, Capitec races past Standard Bank to become SA's number two bank. This is on market cap, putting them at just under 216 billion. They're now second only to FNB. Morning markets, the US is red, started green but closed red, S&P off 1.2%, NASDAQ down 1.6%. Asia is red, Sydney 0.1% down, Tokyo 0.2% lower. Commodities mixed, gold 1781, Brent 6953, palladium 1761. Rand weaker 1601. Top 40 opening call about 340 points down. It's about a little over 0.5%. That is Tencent trades up 0.3% in the Hong Kong lunch break.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcasts.
I'm chatting with Carmen Mapuwani, portfolio manager at Absa Asset Management. Carmen, appreciate your time today. Two updates that really caught my attention yesterday. The first was Bidcorp. Record first quarter, trading profits going up, gains in market share, being able to pass on cost increases. A strong update. More than that, what it got me thinking about was that some of these listed companies are actually coming out of the pandemic, truthfully, better than they were at the beginning of the pandemic.
No, this is truly unusual and probably an anomaly, as you said, during the pandemic. But they have ticked all the correct boxes. They've also gained market share. They have the best diversification in terms of geographical spread. So all those things have counted in their favor. Obviously, they also have the tailwind if and when we do officially have a global economic reopening. Mm-hmm. That's definitely something that would boost them further. So as you said, I think one of the stronger companies, unusually so, but as we see the restrictions come down across the globe, we're likely to see further tailwinds for this company.
Yeah, I mean, they've actually got some challenges, I suppose, which will fade in time. They talk around labor shortages, they talk around supply chain disruptions. And as you mentioned, their markets opening and closing almost on a daily basis. Sort of as we move through next year and finally get through the pandemic, I mean, they've actually got even more potential.
Absolutely. And I think one of their key levers that they've worked on in the last 4 months and that they mentioned in the update is related to them being able to pass on those costs. So yeah, even though you are experiencing labor shortages or supply chain disruption, they've been able to actually pass that on to the customer, which again is very unusual, specifically in tough times.
The other update was Emara Property Fund. It's not a stock I follow very closely, but I was having a look at it, particularly to see what their office sector is doing. And we've seen similar sort of updates, GrowthPoint case in point. The short answer is office is still struggling. They're getting downward rental revisions. The retail seems to be doing okay. Logistics is doing great within the sector, but office is still under significant pressure. And I'm not sure that's going to change anytime soon.
Well, that is exactly the question. I mean, even if you just compare in terms of the growth the vacancy numbers for retail vacancy, you're only looking at about 4.3% in this pre-close update. However, as you've mentioned, office vacancies have actually increased and gone up to 19.4%. So very concerning But what else do we expect in the current environment? I mean, even if you just practically drive through Sandton, you'll see a lot less traffic, office space very, very empty. So I don't know that that's going to change anytime soon, specifically if we are going to be working from home for a longer period of time.
Is it then a case of ignore the office part of the REIT space and look at the other sectors, look at the logistics, perhaps look at those REITs that are operating in Europe? We've got a fair bunch of those. Or is it sort of more a case of REITs, we'll come back to you in 6 months or a year and see how operations are?
Yeah, I think it's also key to look at the balance sheet specifically. So one concerning item in this update was the indication that their loan-to-value is expected to go up in December compared to the 40% that they had in June. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. But as you've mentioned earlier, you know, they are seeing rental reversions, but these have actually improved over the period. So they're still seeing about a minus 12% on rental reversions, but better than the previous quarter that was announced. So as you said, it's about looking at balance sheet, continue to watch rental reversions, and as the economy opens, seeing what the appetite is like for recovery in office space.
Yep, see how it comes back. And I like your point there. Look at those balance sheets and those loan to values. That's, I think, been one of the lessons for many investors. We'll leave it there. That's Carmen Pirani, Portfolio Manager, Absa Asset Management. Appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Michelle Dickens, CEO TPN Credit Bureau. They've got their market strength index looking at rentals. Came out for the September quarter. Michelle, appreciate the time today. Tenant demand in the third quarter, I mean, short answer is it remains weak. I mean, there are some improvements. We can touch on those. But broadly, it is still tough out there.
Yeah, I think tenant demand remains really, really weak. Job losses in the market, loss of income again in the third quarter. We've seen another enormous shed of jobs, and this is impacting tenants' ability to remain in the marketplace. And in fact, many might start to exit again. We've seen our quarter three vacancy rates had come down, but just yesterday we looked at the quarter four vacancy rates. And those are starting to trend back upwards again. So where we thought we had seen the bottom of the vacancies, unfortunately, driven by that weak demand, driven by job losses, we're starting to see those vacancy rates start to edge up again.
And if we throw into the mix there, because I'd noted that there was a slight uptick in vacancy rates, a slight improvement, that now deteriorating. Interest rate increase this quarter, only 0.25%, but that is going to hurt stressed consumers. Possible lockdowns coming, particularly in the leisure industry. The picture is, therefore, I mean, it's not getting better in a hurry.
No, it will definitely become more challenging. If we look at, for example, the tourism industry, we've got a loss of international tourists coming in now. That's going to impact the short-term lets. Short-term let landlords are going to pivot back into the long-term market. That increases supply, weak demand. It'll push the vacancies back up. That drives down the escalations as well. So, it remains a very challenging market at the moment.
Is it a different situation at different price points of availability?
Absolutely. We've got our low end of the market. These are tenants below the 3,000 rand per month. These are tenants that actually have been the most affected by job loss and income deterioration. And our tenants in this particular bracket are really struggling in terms of the demand is still there, but in terms of quality of tenant application, it's just not meeting that criteria for landlords at the moment. And so we see that Effectively, 68% of these tenants are in good standing. To give some context to that, nationally, 80% of tenants are in good standing. And I mean tenants that are fully paid up. There's nothing outstanding. So our landlords in this area of the market are dealing with tenants that are particularly under pressure from a financial position. Our mid-sector, our affordable sector of the market, demand is fantastic. In this sector of the market, we are 1 in 3 tenants rent between 4,500 and 7,000 Rand per month. And as we know, this is an area of the market that there's a lot of demand from tenants. Also, 80% in good standing, 8 in 10 tenants are up to date. But the sweet spot, Simon, are those tenants in the 7 to 12,000. Yeah. 1 in 5 tenants rent here. And they're just doing, you know, they've managed through this process from their income. They've maintained their level of income. And so they're the best performing.
We've seen some reduced residential buildings completed, and the number had spiked. It's come down a bit. Is this a lead indicator of sense? It's suggesting that perhaps, you know, over the course of next year, less new stock coming in, or is that perhaps a little grasping at straws?
So the construction industry obviously been under a huge amount of pressure, and particularly in the 2020 period when we were in a hard lockdown, buildings came to a standstill. So we're seeing about 50% of the number of properties, new builds, that are being completed in the last 2 years compared to what we saw in the 2019 period. In the 2019 period, though, we had 45,000 new residential dwellings coming into the market, but 50% of those, in fact, nearly 60% of those, were into the Gauteng market. And this is why the Gauteng market in particular is struggling with the high level of vacancies. And look, Gauteng's a fabulous area because it's 50% of all tenants in South Africa reside in Gauteng. So you do expect the building activity, et cetera, to offer a lot of support for the needs of the tenants in this particular area. But the last 2 years with the reduced number of new builds means less stock coming into the market. Hopefully we get ourselves back to equilibrium with lower demand, lower stock, new stock. Hopefully we get to a point of equilibrium again. Fundamentally though, Simon, we need jobs. I mean, fundamentally we need jobs, people employed, earning an income, and able to get back into the tenants or home buyer market.
Yeah, I take your point on that. And we saw the unemployment rate out on Tuesday, and we're not getting those jobs. More than anything, employed people is what's really going to help here. Michelle Dickens, CEO, TPN Credit Bureau, appreciate the time today. Chatting with Michelle Dickens there from TPN about stressed residential. That's our poll today on our LinkedIn and Twitter. Do you rent out a house or an apartment? What's your experience? Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
I'm chatting with Tanya van Loo, South African Venture Capital and Private Equity Association. She is the CEO there. A recent 2021 Venture Capital Conference. Tanya, appreciate your time today. Venture capital, I think when we think of venture capital, we kind of think of Facebook and those other sort of exciting, sort of sexy US listings. If we bring it home locally, though, I mean, VC's got huge potential for job creation, economic recovery, two things that South Africa desperately needs.
Hi, Simon. Yes, great to be talking to you. If you think about Facebook and Airbnb, all of those kind of companies that you mentioned, they were also born out of venture capital. So at some point in their life stage, they received venture capital investment. So in our country specifically, we need more companies that are able to scale and grow and create jobs and create more revenue for the tax base. And that's a role that venture capital can play, really identifying these companies that can scale and that can grow and create the job. So they're really good at finding these companies, investing in them, supporting them with their scale and their growth phases.
I take your point. Every big company was once one person, often in a garage. But I like your point around that. If I had 50 people pitch a business idea to me, my skill set, I don't know. I couldn't pick. Venture capital, I mean, that is their skill set. They can identify. This is what they do day in and day out. Do we have the support in South Africa?
Well, Simon, as you said, that's what they do day in and day out. They identify the teams, they identify the problems the teams are solving, and then, as I said, the scalability. Historically, we haven't seen a lot of support for the venture capital industry. It's a very nascent industry. It's still growing. We've seen just over R1 billion worth of investments made last year, even in a tough economic climate with COVID. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a lot of growth in the sector, a lot more focus on the sector itself, but not a lot of support historically. A lot of the venture capital fund managers have, you know, had to find their own feet in the last few years. Not a lot of friendly regulation and policies out there for venture capital. Also, no real institutional investors that are supporting these venture capital fund managers.
And do we have the sort of, you know, I think of Silicon Valley, and I imagine there's probably, you know, hundreds of incubators and the like. And I know we've got, I mean, I can off the top of my head think of two in South Africa. Do we have many? I mean, is there an incubation sort of thriving community in this country?
There's a lot of incubators and accelerators in South Africa, and a lot of them do really good work. But I think the problem is that they're being measured on the quantity of output, so the amount of entrepreneurs that go through the system, rather than the quality of output. So there could be a potential feeder or pipeline for deals for venture capital, but there really needs to be more effort in terms of the quality of entrepreneurs or the kinds of support that they provide entrepreneurs to get them funding ready.
And what about that measurability? I mean, is it just a case of you put X in and you got Y out, or is it you're also going to measure on sort of ESG? You're going to measure on, you know, the number of jobs created, the number of disadvantaged individuals employed?
Well, someone asked me, what is the success of venture capital? How do we know it was successful? And a lot of our members measure, as you say, the jobs that were created, mm-hmm. but then also the actual scalability of the company. So has revenue increased? Are they paying more tax to the South African government? Have they introduced more products, or have they gone into new markets? So there's lots of aspects and areas where you can measure success. And then there's also more initiatives looking at green finance, at social projects that will solve problems that are within communities, such as water, school, and education tech. So there's lots of ways in which you can measure success. And I think a lot of it comes down to who's investing and why they're investing.
I suppose that's actually a great point. There is going to be different methodologies and rationale behind those investments. You mentioned R2 billion last year, which, considering last year, was a notable number. Is it improving? I mean, is 2021 picking up in terms of money going into VC? It's still a pandemic. It's still a tough year, but not quite on the level of last.
Well, Simon, we've actually seen an increase in deal activity, and a lot of it has to do with the digital disruption that has resulted as a result of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, the pandemic has actually supported a lot of these entrepreneurs who've come up with innovations to solve some of the problems that were emphasized by the crisis itself. So where we used to see deal activity or being reported on deals once every other week, we now see on a weekly basis new deals being reported and new entrepreneurs receiving funding to help their companies grow.
Okay, so we are making some sort of progress. We'll leave it there. That's Tanya Funlo. She is CEO at South African Venture Capital and Private Equity Association. Tanya, appreciate the time. That's it for today. A poll from yesterday, we were chatting with Capital Appreciation about their results. It's a small stock, R2 billion in market cap, but really good results, trading at all-time highs. Is this a stock that you'd been invested in? That was the question we asked. A third of you said, yep, and you're absolutely loving it. Just under a fifth said you don't like small caps, whilst almost half of you said, hey, I'm going to go have a look. Have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles at MoneyWeb. The show is brought to you by StandLib. visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.